Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
King O! Showtime!
Figure out the connector, whack it off, and just make it.
I'd like sweet on meat.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
When you were making it from young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream, let's go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1076 of the Linksling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
I'm here as well.
I suspect we'll have Joel popping in for CPAP Weekly in a little bit. I will say that last week I complained enormously about the project I've been working on. I am still working on it. Because every day it's been like the same thing. I get it to a point where I'm like, okay, this should be good. And then I find out all the reasons why it's not good enough. And then I go back and I have to rework everything and come back and find out it's still not good enough. In a nutshell, what the problem I keep having is, and largely last week it was trying to create one job that would do it all, one task, one script that would do it all. And it became really untenable because the inconsistency of the data and the fact that the two different places, three different places that it can come from, the three different places that it could come from all result in like a different schema, and it made it hair pulling to try and figure out how to accommodate all the things I needed to accommodate. So, I mean, it should be a relatively simple task. It is essentially deleting stuff out of our system, and that involves removing it from our data, for lack of a better word, database, removing it if it needed to be on our cloud storage buckets or wherever it's hosted, and also purging Fastly from the URLs. So it is a number of different types of aggregates or assets, we shall say, images, videos, stories, and then the rest of them. So, like, all the stuff has an entry, an object that exists in our data store. And there's three different kind of like data stores it can pull from. And like I said, the schema is different on each one of those. So what ended up happening was, given the three biggest ones that were a problem, there's a story, and basically all I need from the story is the URL of the story. Like, what is the URL to this story? So the actual asset object itself is simple enough to just send and say, delete this asset object ID out of our system, and voila, we would be good. But with like a story, that also is stored on the CDN, or I'm sorry, in Fastly's cache for a year. So it has to be removed out of Fastly's cache. And I need to know the URL that's cached in Fastly. Then for images, we not only have the image itself, but various crops, usually at least three crops for an image. And cropping is done in Fastly through the software side of things. So it's done through their image manipulation. tools, and then that's stored in cash for up to a year unless it changes. But then I also need to know out of there those crop URLs so I can purge them from Fastly, and then the actual location of the source file on storage, which could be in one of three different buckets, and I need to delete that. And then for videos, it's we have a source, we have a thumbnail, and we have renditions. So generally speaking, at least three renditions are created per video, which are just different size formats and stuff. And you would think that this would be easy, but given the fact that we're looking at data that has spanned over a decade, has gone through four different systems. So I'm contending with the fact that I'm already dealing with three different schema possibilities. Then I'm also dealing with the fact that, well, if I want a video object, the renditions I get for one video are not necessarily the same for another video. So I need to know, like, some of them have a source in the renditions. Some of them just have three different size renditions in there. So it becomes an incredible challenge of once I get something that works, right? And then I pull another video to test and it doesn't work on this new video because I'm getting different values back and they're in different locations and it's not consistent. So it's been such an uphill battle doing this. What we did decide is that we made this a lot more difficult for myself in given the fact that we needed to immediately remove content from the system back a few months ago. And so all we did was remove it from one of the data stores, but we left the original image there and all that other stuff just so that they could not find and use those assets anymore. But they still exist in the system. So that required that we had to write a whole other operator to pull it out from the other system, the other schema, and then generate all that information. So we kind of decided at this point, given the fact that we can't use the standard way that we were doing it before, we have to use this other way, and it's not compatible between the two. And trying to do the one, like the one script to rule them all, was just, it's just not working. It's becoming unmanageable. Step back and just say, okay, we're going to write this one to do this immediate job, where we've already set the stage that it's been removed from one of these data stores. We need to remove it from the other one and clean up everything else. And so, again, did that. And then the other operator is going to be going forward using this data store that we've and the schema that we've been using in the past, which provides all that information that we need to do this in a different way. And so it's become one of those things where it's the little things, right? So I need to get rid of the source video, right? And that's stored in a different location. And so I'm not necessarily going to get the source video path from the data store object. Some of them have source in there, some of them don't. Some of them have thumbnail, some of them don't. So it's like I find there's a serious lack of consistency is what I'm saying of the way all this stuff comes together. So I devise a way. Okay, so when I'm looking for a source video, I have to grab all the renditions. Then I have to look at these renditions and see if anyone is a source video. And that going to have source in the path. All right. So then it's like, you think it would be simple enough then that I can construct the path to the source video. But what ends up happening is I create the code to do that, which is basically take that a rendition URL, strip off what I need, and replace rendition with source, and it should like then work. But then you come to realize that, well, there's two different IDs that these things can be referenced by. And in the URL is the ID. Now it's either going to be the aggregate ID or it's going to be the friendly ID. And the aggregate ID is a, what's that? What is that string? It's universal, crap. It's like a hash. It's like a hash. I forget what there's an official name for it, but it's like a hash.
UUID?
Yeah. It's a generated UUID. So there's either that, and then there's the friendly ID, which is like, I think, 16 characters, maybe not even that. So then I have to determine whether it's using the aggregate ID or the ID, the friendly ID. And then I need to construct it on that. And then I don't know what the extension of the video is, but they're generally all MP4s. So then I can tack on an extension on there, but some of the extensions are all capitals, they're all uppercase, and some are all lowercase. So it just, it becomes just this like insane loop of conditionals to try and tease all this stuff out, and I don't want to make it this jumbled mess. It's been very frustrating. So I thought I had it today. Then I was discussing with the guy I work with a lot and said, hey, look, what about this situation right here? Like, I'm noticing that I gotten everything I need. I've gotten all the renditions. I've gotten the paths to Google Storage. And I'm like, okay, at this point, I want to know how we should – I'm trying to figure out a way of how we should construct the check. Like, so when all this is said and done, right, we need to capture – like, was there an error trying to delete it from Google Storage? You know, we have something that was called the original URL, which was then after it was all said and done, it would do a check to see whether the original URL was still available. And if it returned like anything but a 400, then it needed to be logged out. So I'm like, okay, now we're not just dealing with one URL. Now we're dealing with the possibility of like 3 to 8 URLs that we're going to have to purge and then check and make sure that they're not available. You know, how do we want to construct this object that when it's all said and done, if there's errors, we want it to dump out into a file so that we can come back in and look at all this stuff. And then that set off a whole other thing of, okay, well, what we have now is still not good enough to capture all this information and get it away. So it's like tomorrow I got to get back and then do it on again in the drawing board, make sure that we're covering all the cases. It hasn't been fun. It was fun maybe the first couple of days, and now it's just like beating my head against a wall. So one of the things I was trying to figure out how to do is I didn't want to keep going through loops, right? So this whole source URL thing was becoming a problem, and I was like, okay, I don't want to keep looping through the same group of URLs to see whether the source file exists, and if it doesn't, create it. And then the one guy I was working with, you know, the other guy I was working with, he's like, look, it's all just text manipulation. Just construct a source URL from what you have. And because what I was doing was I would take the source URL after I constructed it, and if it wasn't there, but it could possibly be there, but I don't know if it's there or not because I have to go through all the URLs to determine whether the source URL is there, but I didn't want to do that. And I was going to then just like take one of them and construct the source URL from it and then add it to the array and then check to see if, and say that, okay, I don't need to construct the source URL anymore. But he's like, don't even worry about that. You don't have to go through it multiple times. Just every time that you're going through each one of these and it matches the pattern of what you would have to create the source URL from, create the source URL, put it into the array, and then all the other ones that it's going to create the source URL, it's going to match that it's already in the array, so it's not going to add it. If you actually come upon the source URL, it's not going to add it. And I was, like, happy with that. I'm like, ah, I don't like it. It's kind of sloppy, but whatever. And then that's when I ran into the problem of, okay, here's an example where it has a source URL, but the file extension of MP4 is all uppercase, not lowercase. It's like, Jesus Christ. Every time, everything I come up with is just, like, defeated by the next object that I try and have to, you know, work around this crap. Anyway.
Sounds fun.
Oh, you know, I will
say
this.
Doesn't sound fun to me.
See, it would be fun. Like, I don't really mind, but I'm on a deadline.
Yeah.
And I need to have, like, I need to start deleting these things because it has to be done, like, by December 14th. And I'm like, every day. And I'm talking millions of things. And so now, you know, one of the things that we're talking about on the check, and I'm like, well, we do the URL check here, and then we can, you know, we can dump it out. And the guy I work with, well, doesn't it usually take, like, a minute or so for all these things to be purged out of Fastly? And I'm like, shit, you're right. And I can't wait a minute, you know, between each.
Each deletion
here, because we're talking like millions of deletions. And I did the math. And I said, let's say, you know, it's a million things, like 5 million, like I came down. It's like, it's going to take me 57 days to run this nonstop. If I was running this nonstop, it would take 57 days to delete this many assets. And that is not even the total amount of assets that I have to delete.
And that's accounting that the system doesn't stop or whatever.
Right, right. Now, I could reduce that by the fact that I can run, I could do, like, parallel runs.
Multiple threads, yeah.
But I can't, what I can't do is I got to be careful not to overload the system, number one.
Right.
And I also have to be careful of the fact that, you know, I can't monitor this thing 24/7. So if it stops, then I'm losing time, you know. If something happens right. And I got to restart it, I'm losing time. And that's happened before. But hopefully tomorrow, get it, it'll be all done. It's just frustrating to finally think that you have gotten it and ready to go, and then you move on and my testing, it's like, okay, now here's a situation I didn't account for, because I didn't even think that this was going to be a problem because the data is not consistent. That's really frustrating. Anyway, Dave, you said that you were you put on your GIMP suit this week.
GIMP suit?
No, not really.
In Dollywood. He was walking around as a GIMP in Dollywood.
It's a stupid story. I run the i3 window manager, and for years, and I can't remember chicken or egg which came first. I my wallpaper changes every hour. And I wrote a Mastodon bot that posts that at this bot site. I mean, this bot Mastodon account that just shows what my wallpaper is for that hour. But I also run a program called PyWall. And I've done this for years.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me ask you one question about that. You mean every time your wallpaper changes, it posts that wallpaper onto Mastodon account?
Yeah.
So anybody who subscribed to your account is getting your getting 24.
No, not my account, but it's a account.
Oh.
It's
my name's on attached to it.
Yeah.
I assume you subscribe to it, so you get to see not only looking at your desktop that has changed, but and the social media account that's advertising your desktop shows it too. Okay. How many people are subscribed to it?
I'm getting ready to tell you. Let's see.
Okay.
I forget the name of it. Give me a second.
Where does it pull the backgrounds from?
Give me a second. I'm drawing. Well, I use a program called Variety that sits on my taskbar in the system tray, and it gets. I've got a collection of wallpapers, plus it gets some from Reddit. It gets them from different sites, and it I use image magic. I resize them all. I rename them all, and they get posted. I just wanted to see if I could write a bot, and you know, to post this. It was That's an exercise. Cool. Yeah, it was just something I did. Anyway, I'll figure out the name out in a minute. But alongside of that, I ran a program called PyWall, which is it takes whatever wallpaper you have and generates a terminal color scheme. It's silly, but and I
does it does it really does it do a good job of
yeah it does
oh that's but, cool
but it, in Vim you know your color scheme may be unreadable just based on what wallpaper you get. So I've got a keyboard shortcut if it's unreadable, I just hit, you know, meta N, I get a new wallpaper, a new color scheme. And for years I've done that, and I don't know why, but 2 days ago I decided I'm going to settle on a color scheme. This changing color, I can still run the bot, I can still change my wallpaper, but I don't have to have a new color scheme every hour. So I've decided to settle on a color scheme. And that's a rabbit hole that you've ever gone down. You could just pick one, but if you're running a window manager, not a desktop environment, getting everything to look right with your themes and all your apps and all of that with a color scheme, if you're at all autistic, you want things to be right. If you're a geek at all, you want it to look good. So
right.
I've spent a lot of time re-theming my desktop, my window manager, the last 2 days, and I'm still not happy with it. But in doing that, I needed to open up a GTK app. Like I said, I'm running i3, and I don't run many GUI apps at all. And the ones I do run are KDE apps. So I tried to – I needed to open up a GTK app, and GIMP's the only one I could think of. So I opened that up just to see the color scheme and if it was working in there. That's the whole story. But right now I've settled on Grubbox, which is an okay color scheme.
What is the color scheme of Grubbox?
It's –
what would you say?
It's hard to describe. it's very readable. I wanted something that, you know, that Vim supported, and it was supported by, you know, all the console apps I used. And Grubbox is probably the second most supported behind Dracula, but Dracula's a lot of pink and purples, and I didn't want that. Grubbox is mainly orange and green, maybe.
Orange and green.
Yeah, it's high contrast, but it's muted.
Orange and green, like, what's the background color?
Because Dave has old man eyes.
It's a dark gray.
Oh, it's a dark gray, and then the text is orange or green?
It's green and blue. I mean, it's a 16 color, you know, or you can have 256 colors, but it's yellow, green. It's the standard colors, but they're sort of chopped.
Does Grubbox rotate your colors then? The name of the color scheme?
Yeah, that's the name of the color. It's Grubbox. It's probably the most popular.
Okay.
Yeah, probably the most popular color scheme out there. I mean, I looked at OneDark. I looked at Grubbox. I looked at Solar. I ran Solarize for a little while. I remember Solarize, right? That's an old one. You've run it before, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. But when you do that, you know, all your console apps, they have to be updated. You want your GUI to match it, sort of. You don't want, you know, one screen to be bright blue and the others, you know, green and orange.
Right.
So.
Right. What terminal are you using?
URXVT.
URXVT. Okay.
Yeah.
What am I using? I'm using XFCE for terminal.
But on all my other, this is just one computer, the one I use all the time. All these others are running Plasma with console, and I don't worry about it. But on the one I'm on all the time, I just went down that rabbit hole the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
For no good reason. I mean, I've lived with a rotating color scheme for years, but it was a little aggravating, and I've decided I'm going to try to live with one for a while now. But that's the whole why I opened GIMP story.
I never changed my theme. I occasionally change wallpaper. But not lately.
Hey, I like to rotate my wallpaper with my photos.
Yeah, I've got a screensaver that does that, but and you know, I don't see the wallpaper. I run everything full screen. The terminals I run with, you know, like 20% transparency, and the background's blurred, so it doesn't get in the way, that kind of thing. But
that's awesome, Dave.
Like, well, that's awesome ish.
Mm-hmm.
But
so it's Sunday.
What Sunday?
My first 5K.
Wait, it was this past Sunday or this Sunday?
This coming Sunday. I got to go to OLF and pick up my race packet at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. Weekend, isn't it?
Yep, it is. I did throw my $10 in the kitty so I can go to OLF.
Wow. I hope you're 5K shirt is better than the 5K shirt I got.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
No, actually, I get a fleece.
Ah. Well, if your 5K is the size of my 5K, then you got a good chance of placing. Like I said, I came in third, but there were only 23 people.
Oh, it probably ain't. Yeah, got to consider I'm in near a major city, so, and it's downtown Columbus.
Yeah. But the shirt we got for this 5K, it says fall for health. That just seems...
So I get a finisher medal, a fleece, which that will be another fleece I got.
Now my trophy broke before I got home. It was this.
Oh, really?
You broke thing. Off in your ass, right?
It was this little wooden pedestal with it, like this leaf on it, like a.
It was a How did you end up breaking it?
I don't know. It was just cheap. It just broke.
Yeah. They got so you get like a bowl of you get like chocolate to dip stuff in and hot chocolate in the bowl and a banana.
I got a banana and some water.
It's got a banana and a thing of chocolate.
Yeah,
that's suggestive. That's cool though. I mean that's you know what I did. I have found that you know. If you're doing races like that in the like late fall, early winter, you get like nicer shirts sometimes. Not more nicer than just like a t-shirt. I still have all my race t-shirts, but the ones when they were like, I have one from, I think it was in the winter when I did it, and it's just like nice long sleeve shirt. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's comfortable and warm that I still wear running and biking.
If you run this thing multiple years in a row, I think you get like a special thing. Like if you run like five in a row or something like that. I don't know. I probably won't place anywhere.
I should go back to run them just to get the shirts. That's fun.
Now, and we're sitting there trying to...
Do it for the free shirts.
Yeah, do it for the free
shirts. No, it's not really free.
Free.
You pay the entry fee.
But yeah, right now, it's looking like that the one we wanted to do for the Mammoth March next year may not happen. I don't know. They've got hikes already posted for next year. The one that we did, plus ones before and ones after... But we wanted to do the one up in Cuyahoga National Park, but they haven't posted it yet. So I think we might be doing the same one we did last year. I may think about doing a group of guys we did it with. We're thinking about doing there's one in Versailles, I think it's how you say it, in Indiana, at Versailles State Park. So I don't know. I got to look at my calendar on that yet, because I have to. In May, we have the trip to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for Luke's first adult tournament. And I'm thinking about, like, I don't know if I want to drive my SUV or not. Because it sounds like he may have somebody that's also bowling that wants to ride along with us. So and I'm like, well, we're making a pit stop in the middle. I mean, I ain't driving straight through because that's 14 hours. But so I'm thinking about we're toying around with the idea of renting a vehicle to go down there.
Hey, I'll interrupt real quick. I posted a link to that current wallpaper bot. And I got 427 followers.
Well,
14,000 posts since 2022.
So, like, Atari seems to be doing so many more little things now. I follow them on Facebook, and they're making the version of the CX40 joystick that's wireless. And it'll work with both, like if you have like I have my old 800XL, it'll work with that. Or it will work with the Atari 2600 Plus. Which, if you haven't heard of that, that's basically
that's cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. But they reimagined both the 2600 and the 7800 now. And you can take the original 7800 and 2600 cartridges and plug it in and play them on a new device that plugs into HDMI.
I want the 800. Redo the 800.
The 800 computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't, like, I'll say this, like the interface I got from my TV from my original 800, which is, yeah, from the 80s, it doesn't look that great. So.
You know what I don't like about Atari? Like, it's nice to see that they're still going strong, but every time Atari puts something out, it's covered in the stank of Atari. It's got this Atari jank to it. Like, it's 2024, and they can't make a video game that doesn't look like shit. Like, it, even if it does look nice, it looks like jank. It's got this Atari, like, always has this, like, you can tell it's an Atari game.
Are you talking the new ones, or I mean, what are you talking about? Like the their console that runs on the Ryzen chip?
I'm talking about anything Atari does. Everything Atari does has this, like, jank to it. It's like, it's either too big and too bright. Like the colors are weird. Like, I don't know how to fully describe Atari jank, but you know it when you see it. You look at it and it says, like, no other game looks like this. Unless it almost looks Fisher-Price, I guess is what I'm saying. And I'm not knocking on it that it's always a bad game.
What are you talking about, modern games?
I'm talking about all their games. Everything Atari puts out is
jank.
Dude,
they came out in the 80s, man.
And I'm talking about their modern games, too, like the Yars Rising that just came out a few weeks ago. Looks, you know, it's got this Atari jank with it. Like, for some reason, it's always got, it looks like they decided 60% through making the game that they're just going to give up. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're bad games, but they always look kind of like, I would expect more from Atari because they've been around since the beginning, but every
but
one of their
really
games is
But it's not really the
jank.
Same company, you know that, right? I mean,
well,
it's basically...
I don't know how they were able to not be the same company, but keep the same jank.
Yeah, keep
every
the same
time.
Level of jank. Change management.
Like,
I guess.
Like, you put an Atari game, regardless of what generation it is, you put an Atari game next to any other game that's being released at that time, and you can tell there is a difference there. Like, you can say, you will clearly see that the Atari game just there's something
I'm not getting that experience, but anywho, Joe, that there's the 400 mini, which plays some of the 800 games. So that I put that in there. It's $119. That's not too bad.
How much is it now? Wait, which one is this?
Atari 400 mini.
I wouldn't mind having the Atari 400 mini. I'll see if I can find a used. 120 seems a little steep.
The only thing is the keyboard on it is just there for it's just there for.
Oh, it's not an actual keyboard?
No, it's not the membrane keyboard. It's but I think you can plug like a USB keyboard into it.
Sure you can.
I think, you know. It's not like that. Now there was a the Commodore 64, they redid. Somebody made one that's literally functions exactly like one, and I'm not talking about the 8-bit guy thing. That's a completely different machine.
Oh, looks like I can get one for about $100. So not much savings.
You're paying $95 too much.
I agree.
I guess what the problem is, like, you know, the classic example is look at Atari Pac-Man versus any other Pac-Man on any other system. Even Tiger handheld games
have better.
What I'm saying is, every Atari game is like that. Like, there's been some really great Atari games. Don't get me wrong. River Raid, oh, that's a great game.
Well, that wasn't made by Atari. It was made by Activision.
Well, yeah. I mean,
for Atari, though.
Atari Asteroids was a great game. You know, Space Invaders, Missile Command, they were all, they were great games, but...
Yeah, but aren't those their early, early games?
Yes.
Right, but if you compare, Donkey Kong on Atari to Donkey Kong on any other system, that's the kind of jank I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
And then they carried it over to every one of their consoles.
But what did they put that on? I mean, that's the thing. Like, now, if you look at 8-bit games, like the Atari 8-bit games, like especially Star Raiders 2, Miner 2049er, there's some really great – the 8-bits and 5200 had some good ones. So did 7800. One of my favorite games on the 7800 is called Food Fight. That looked pretty good for the time.
But if you compare it to any other, they port it to all the other systems out there, and Atari always looks janky compared to everything else. And I'm not saying that it doesn't mean that the games don't play well, but I don't know why Atari, and even today, when I look at an Atari game that's released today, I'm like,
now if you look really? At on their website, they got the Pocket Edition, which is $59.99.
So Pocket Edition, for what?
It says Atari Edition, Pocket Edition, and it's got Adventure, Asteroids, Berserk, Centipede, Crystal Castles, Final Legacy, Food Fight, Miner 2049er, Yars Revenge, and Missile Command. And by the looks of Missile Command, it's not the 2600 version. It looks like the one from the arcade and Ninja Golf, whatever that is. I've never played Ninja Golf before, but that's a pretty cool little thing. They got the Atari 50 Pocket Pro. It's almost now a lot of these, especially the mini ones, are a lot like have you ever seen, go to the store now and you see something branded Polaroid, right? That's just a company that bought the fucking name and putting it on cheap Chinese-made stuff.
I mean, I give them credit for mining their intellectual property that they have. And, you know, bravo to them for... I mean, it would be nice if they would just, like, either put out their entire library on one of these devices or... have a, you know, create a device that has a service where you can pay a couple of dollars a month and play any of the games that you want.
Nintendo should do that, but they're not.
Well, Nintendo does do that, but they piecemeal it out. Like if you're right. If you are subscribed to their whatever they call their monthly, yearly, whatever plan, like PS Plus has, you get every month they release a couple of different old games that were on the NES.
Now, we'll say this.
The Nintendo 64.
Their Atari VCS is essentially a Ryzen-based computer. And I believe you can run Linux on it. But I don't know if I want to pay $200 for that.
That's their new system, right?
Yeah.
But again, if you look at the games they're producing for it, they look like mobile games.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Ouya.
Yeah, there's an example of that. That was hard. Shit. Oh my goodness!
But this new Dave Atari hardware. This new Atari hardware. You play new cartridges on it. Is it connected to the internet? And is there a service?
On the 2600 plus and 7800 plus, yeah, you can play the original ones, and they are producing some new cartridges. But you got to remember that they're emulating the 8-bit computer, so that's what they're aiming at and looking at. So those are not going to be, or like, you know, the 2600 powerful computer. So it's not going to have the most fantastic graphics. Now the VCS, much better. But again, this goes back towards where mobile games friggin' suck now. I mean, they're horrible. Like, you get a game, and like the first wave might not cost you anything, but you get through the first one, and you're like, okay, let me get through the next level. No, you got to buy a gold or tickets or whatever you need to get to the next level. And it's like, yeah, I'm done. I ain't gonna do that.
But yeah, somebody's gonna buy maybe you one of these consoles, and then are people actually buying for $30 a new cartridge game? Berserk 7800. Looking at it, it's $30, and it's new. It's on pre-order. Yeah, is somebody gonna pay $30 for that?
I might. I might. Depends somebody on what will. It is. Some there,
I'm not.
There good. Are old. Yeah, there are old folks that will do that. Now, the 2600, like the with the controller and the Mega Bundle, it's $169. It looks like it comes with joysticks, paddles, and a D-pad, and a 10-in-1 game cartridge. I forget which. Let's see if it says what game. Okay, the 10-in-1 cartridge has Adventure, Combat, Dodge'em, Haunted House, Maze Craze, Missile Command, Real Sports Volleyball, Surround Video Pinball, and Yars Revenge. And these are ports of the originals.
I just
that look exactly like, you know, that they did back in the day. I want to see what Asteroids Deluxe looks like. Oh, it looks okay, exactly like the arcade game, which is basically just a little fancier version of the original. Okay. But it's cool, and it's nostalgia, and that's what they're talking about.
Is it cooler than RetroPie? Getting your ROMs the old-fashioned way.
the not exactly legit way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends.
Archive.org. Cough, cough.
Is that back up?
Yeah.
Well, they're archiving sites again.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're completely back. They're getting sued left and right. I mean, they've been around forever, and all of a sudden, it's just like.
Well, it's not shoot, going. They had a cyber attack, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had two cyber attacks.
Yeah.
They got cyber attacked the first time, and supposedly they supposedly fixed all the issues, and then the person that did the hack the first time found something that they didn't fix and hacked them again.
And one of the hacks was a pro-Palestinian group. It had nothing to do with what archive.org was doing or stood for, other than, you know, they were an easy target that's only loosely affiliated with America. I mean,
right. Yeah, it looks like it's fully back up right now. I just went to it.
Well, I've lived in the Qt browser for 2 weeks now without no Firefox, and that's going good.
Wait, which one?
The Qt browser, the Qt browser.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, it's been good.
That's your new browser, huh?
On my laptop.
Browser a choice. You run a full GUI on your laptop?
A GUI. But,
no, that's called
awesome. That's what he's running.
I'm running i3. Yeah, there's no. I mean, it's everything's a window, and there's really. I mean, unless I pull up my graphical file manager, nothing has a GUI. I mean, the web browser doesn't have a GUI anymore. So yeah, the occasional time I pull up Crusader or Dolphin is the only time I see a GUI.
Interesting.
But I've not found a really good console-based file manager. I mean, I use Ranger. It's fast, and it's really good for local file systems. I mean, yeah, you can connect SSH, FS, and all that, but it's – and there's Midnight Commander, but it's only two panes, and it doesn't really do tabs. I want something like Crusader, where it's a double pane, you know, Commander-style file manager, but each pane can have multiple tabs. I want something like that that doesn't have a GUI. I like Dolphin, you know, for as far as GUIs go, better than Crusader because of my eyes. You know, it's not paned. You have tabs, but everything's maximum visibility. You know, it renaming folders in that is easier than something like Crusader because the fonts are a little bigger. I don't know, it's fixable, but.
Mm-hmm.
I was using I quit using it. It was, the podcatcher I was using, the Castro. I think I talked about it a couple months ago. It was using like 6 gig of RAM. And you think console apps are lightweight. Not necessarily. I mean, it was using 5 times more RAM than Firefox was at the time. But I've since moved to Newsboat for podcast and RSS feeds. And I think my maximum RAM usage now on that's like 1.5 gig. But I got like 120 feeds. But I think Qt browser with 30 or 40 tabs open, I'm using 1.5 gig of RAM and just about that with Newsboat. That's the two heavy hitters.
Nice. Yeah. So I guess I'm feeling pretty ready for this run. We'll see. I ran another 5K on the treadmill and PR'd Saturday. From my tracking, so I'm between 4-4.5 miles an hour. I'm not running real fast. I'm just trying to keep the minimum speed.
Now, that's what I did. I mean, I took a month off before I ran this 5K unintentionally, so it was the first time I'd done anything in a month. And since the 5K, which was, 3 weeks ago, I've not done a thing. So, but I picked – it was only 23 people. I picked a guy in front of me that looked like he had been running a long time, but it was older. And I ran right. his pace. He came in second in my age group, and I came in third. But at the end of the run, I found out he was 74 years old. So I wasn't going fast.
Yeah, and here for folks coming to OLF, if you're not necessarily staying downtown or you don't want to stay downtown, here's a cool thing.
Stay at your house.
No. up at the North Market has kind of built another place in addition to the one that's downtown at Bridge Street in Dublin, I think it is. And it's very similar in that it's got like a different kind of restaurants in there. But I might have to go to Hubert's just for you, Dave, though.
That
the Polish place.
Yeah. Is it in that market still?
Yes, it is. Hubert's and Ferdu's are still there. And I believe Jenny's ice cream is still in there. There's Nashville Hot Chicken Place, so that might be another alternative for me. But I'll probably do that Saturday before it's like I can't really hang out all day Saturday down there. I wish I could. It's just can't. I got too many things going on.
Speaking of barbecue, I ate the first good barbecue I'd ever had in the state of Tennessee last Wednesday. In Dandridge.
Where'd you go?
It was in Dandridge, Tennessee, and I forget the name of it, Smoky something, but it was a cinder block building with a gravel driveway with a chain link fence with razor wire on it.
Okay.
And nobody in the parking lot, and I missed the turn in, and I went down this other gravel road, and it dead ended within a stone's throw of this building at the city dump, dumpsters. So I turned around and I went back, and it was. I told them before I left, I said, I'm not a barbecue expert, but I am from South Carolina, and we have five or six different kinds of barbecue barbecue style. And so I know a little bit about barbecue, and this is in the top five I've ever had, but it's definitely better than I've only eaten barbecue in Tennessee two times prior to this, and it sucked, but this was delicious. It was really good barbecue. Because I'd had barbecue in Memphis, which was too sweet for my liking. I had it in Knoxville before, and I didn't like it either. But, that didn't mean anything. But this was good barbecue.
Memphis is almost a different style.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah. I've had Memphis. It's the funniest thing in the world that I'm trying not, to keep the food thing in control, but when I go to Louisiana, what's the thing I'm looking forward to the most down there? The food.
Dill dogs.
Oh, hell no.
I saw some people eating those in Pigeon Forge this weekend. It was in Gatlinburg.
Oh. But yeah, they'll let's see. I'm hoping to get some crawfish etouffee when I'm down there. I know that's something Dan could appreciate. I love
absolutely.
Crawfish.
Absolutely.
I
forgot your name. I applaud that. Do you like crawfish, Dan?
Yes.
Who are you asking?
You. Crawfish. Yeah. Do you eat it? Yeah.
I mean, I've had it before. It's really good. It's just, it's...
Little baby lobsters.
Yeah, it's just too much work.
There you go. Well, see, that's why I like etouffee, because you don't have to do the work. It's already done for you.
I'm not a big Cajun fan. It's sort of like the same reason I don't like what is it?
Sweet meat?
No, it's not crab cakes, but it's that whole bay seasoning up in Dan's area. They put it on
the Old Bay?
Yeah, what am I thinking of? What do they put it on? Crab?
Crab cakes?
Old Bay.
You can have too much of that, and the same thing with Cajun food. Too much seasoning to me is—I don't like it. I mean, I like hot food. I put hot sauce on all kind of stuff, but I don't want it over seasoned. Whatever I'm eating.
I think there's a
Cajun restaurant.
Are you a Zatarain's man? Is that it?
Zatarain's.
I like Zatarain's.
I got nothing against Zatarain's or Old Bay seasoning, but I just don't want to. I want to taste the meat. I don't want to taste just seasoning.
Oh, I should have.
And he doesn't want sweet meat. He doesn't want sweet meat.
I didn't say.
Eli, sweet meat.
Oh, I want to taste the meat.
Have you ever seen the song Taste the Biscuit?
What? No.
Oh my God. I should send that to you.
Captain Beefheart? Who did that?
No, it was a Moose and it was from a TV show at one point. It's freaking hilarious, man.
Taste the Biscuit.
Yeah, there you go.
I was seeing people that was like in a clothing store singing it.
That's it. Yep, that's okay. It.
Toasters and Moose.
Yeah, Toasters and Moose. That's it. Yeah.
I've seen them before someplace.
It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, the first link is in the crappy music subreddit.
It's not as bad as Doba.
I will have to pull this up and play it. Nothing's as bad as Doba.
Would you like to know?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Joining the crappy music subreddit is what I'm doing.
Is that where you get it from?
There you go.
I found a link to it. I'll send it to you. There you go.
Isn't that all music nowadays? Is anything now that comes out pretty much sucks?
That's what an old person would say.
I'm an old person, so.
You know what got family all riled up? They found out yesterday. They found out
what?
My Chemical Romance is going to be performing the entire Black Parade album in 2025. And the show in Philadelphia is with Alice Cooper. And my whole family's like, we gotta go. We gotta go. My Chemical Romance and Alice Cooper.
Oh my God.
Beautiful. I wish I could get to that concert.
Yeah.
I would love to go see that.
Have you seen these AI generated movie things on YouTube?
Yes, they're everywhere.
Like 1950 Super Panavision 70.
Yeah,
like there's one for Jurassic Park.
I've seen a few of them. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
and they're a little more creative than a bunch of these fake trailers that are constantly put out.
Dave likes the hot dog eating competition one.
I still like that one.
That Or one of the AI first AI generated videos, Will Smith eating spaghetti.
Yeah.
They got a clip for they got one of those for StarCraft.
Hey, what?
One of those AI videos for, like, if you made a StarCraft movie.
Okay. Off of the video game StarCraft?
Yes.
Man, is that still... But this people is still super playing Panavision. StarCraft? People still...
Oh, yeah.
People will always still be playing StarCraft.
Yeah. Oh. Some dude in Korea, many years ago, remember that?
Died playing it, yeah.
Yeah.
like 80 hours straight and something like that and died.
Oh, was that the game? I thought it was WoW.
No, I think it was StarCraft.
Yeah, I think it was StarCraft.
South Korea. Legend of Zelda 1950 Super Panavision movie trailer. And a Simpsons one. That's just funny. Yeah, you can go down a rabbit hole watching all those Panavision movie trailer videos.
You know, I will say this. It would be interesting to watch, like, if and at some point it's probably going to happen, if AI they generate a Zelda movie through AI and it's good. I mean, I think at some point it'll probably happen. And I mean, like, we couldn't get this our entire life, and finally, like, somebody builds it with an AI generation, and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, but you know they named Link wrong.
Right.
Well, they probably would have to, because then Nintendo would swoop in and sell them. I mean, sue them. Not sell them, sue them. But, yeah, I mean, I don't hold out hope, because they would something would get screwed up in it. But, man, if we can't get Nintendo to make a damn right. Zelda movie, and I would love one.
Now, have you tried the 90s menu at Taco Bell?
Holy shit, I had... No, man, I...
Because they brought the Mexican Mount back.
No, that's not the 90s menu. That's the decades menu, sir. The 90s one decades. Is the gordita.
Did they bring back the grilled stuffed burrito?
Grilled stuffed burrito's gone? I didn't know that.
Grilled stuffed burrito has been gone for a really long time, guys.
So the 60s
was... I mean, they had the steak one. I've had the steak one recent.
The 60s is the green, the burrito with the green sauce.
Green burrito.
And the 70s is... Oh, crap. I've had every single one of them. I think the 80s is the Mex-a-Melt and the 90s is the gordita. Oh, the tostada.
Tostada.
Tostada's back. Yeah, the tostada. The Mex-a-Melt. Both my wife and I said the Mex-a-Melt and the...
I had a couple of them the other day.
Burrito with the green sauce. Ah, delicious. Oh, the Mex-a-Melt was so good. Dave, you got to try a Mex-a-Melt.
Yep.
I agree. I stopped listening after you said the burrito with the green sauce. That would be the one I would eat.
The burrito with the green sauce? Stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, you got to get everything off the decades menu. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, but they have the 90s box.
All I've ever eaten for decades is a burrito or a taco.
Yeah, the 90s box, which includes the Gordita Supreme.
Yeah. Oh, the gordita was good too. Oh, it was so good.
I just looked it up. All locations have discontinued the grilled stuffed burrito while being replaced by newer items.
Well, that's stupid.
And that's been a while now.
That they discontinued the grilled stuffed burrito?
What do they have? The burritos.
Nothing good.
I've had the Cantina chicken burrito.
Nothing filling.
It's okay. Right. I do like the Cantina chicken bowl. That's pretty good. I get that about once a week. And it's relatively healthy for you, too. Well, they got the grilled cheese burrito. Have you tried that, Joe?
No. And honestly, I'm just going to Chipotle instead.
And really,
for their burrito
bowl. And really ruin your dinner.
Well, the burrito bowl, when you get it, it comes out to like... Well, because I get the chicken, it comes out to like 1,000 calories, maybe. Which is a large meal for me, but it's also a large meal.
Yeah. And I did try the Krabby Patty at Wendy's when they had it.
What is the Krabby Patty? What was it?
Like I said before, nothing to write home. Well, it's based. It was just a single cheeseburger with a sauce on it. That's it.
They get you to bite.
It's worth a shot. Ooh, now this looks good. Wendy's has a mushroom bacon cheeseburger.
I don't know. Last time I went to Wendy's, I bought two things and ended up spending like $30, and I was like, hell no, no more.
Yeah, it's gotten expensive, dude.
Right, right.
Yeah. Although I did like Wendy's.
Like the, well, yeah, but nothing replaces the, what the big old Texas Whopper. Man, that's good.
I haven't been to Burger King in forever.
You know, the Mantham.
Yeah, I know that. Wait, have you had the chicken Big Mac?
Probably a good thing. That just sounds gross.
What, the chicken Big Mac?
I've heard it's gross.
I guess that's just a Big Mac with two fried chicken patties.
If you look, if you were to do a case study, for lack of a better term, what McDonald's is doing, what Wendy's is doing versus what Taco Bell is doing. Taco Bell's doing something right. I mean, if people talk about it. Yeah, I mean, they change the menu, people talk about it.
Taco Bell is actually... is actually one of the healthier fast food places, comparatively. Yeah. Not saying that they are healthy per se, but they're one of the healthier ones comparatively.
Yes.
But people talk, I mean, maybe it's just us, but people talk about their menu. I mean,
You know what else they excel at? Taking the same shit, mixing it up different ways, and getting people to buy it.
Yeah. But the reason we don't talk about McDonald's as much is because McDonald's has sucked for like 20 years, 30 years.
Like I had a friend today, they just realized McDonald's is selling Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme donuts at McDonald's. I'm like, yeah, that's just like they get them in the grocery store, you know, and it's that cold box of Krispy Kremes.
And that shows maybe a little bit of desperation on McDonald's part. I mean, that's got to be a win for Krispy Kreme. I mean, there's a McDonald's at every exit on every interstate. So now there's a Krispy Kreme there now.
Is McDonald's making the Krispy Kreme donuts there? No. Or are they just heating them up?
I doubt that.
Or is Krispy Kreme just dropping them off? Or, I mean,
Krispy Kreme's just dropping them off. That I'm sure of.
I guess they're coming out of a factory, right? Unlike the Krispy Kreme actual shops where they're
making them in the fresh oil.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Krispy Kreme donuts to begin with.
I mean, Dunkin' Donuts their donuts. Dunkin' Donuts literally delivers their donuts frozen to the store.
They're kind of gross, too.
I'm a Krispy Kreme fan. Just because I'm from the
South. As long as they're hot.
No accounting for taste there.
It's better than a cake
donut. How dare you? What?
Yeah.
Better than a cake donut? I don't know about that.
If I want to have cake, I'm going to have cake.
I love cake donut. I like
chocolate cake donut.
Cake donuts are the ones that are baked instead of fried, right?
Yeah.
No. Cake donuts can be fried. It just depends on where you go.
That's just them trying to be like Krispy Kreme. That's all.
What? A cake donut? a place that fries their cake donut is...
Yeah. They want a fried option just to compete.
No, when I used to work at Meijer, they actually used to make their donuts there, but they don't do that anymore either.
Wait. Krispy Kreme's not a cake donut, right? They're yeast donuts.
No, they're rice.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What's your beef with cake donuts, Dave?
They're not yeast donuts.
Hmm. Well...
Do you like your donut filled?
No.
Or do you like a hole in your donut?
like a hole in his donut. Okay, he's got to have something to put on it.
Speaking of Meijer, that's horrible. We got groceries in Tennessee at Food City. I don't know if we don't have any down here.
Yeah, I've been to one.
That's a fine grocery store.
What makes
it
fine?
Is actually. What's that? They had a Starbucks in Tennessee, where the one I went to.
Yeah, it reminded me of an Ingles, which is a North Carolina-based grocery store, in Publix. As you took
very those much two so, and put them
together, that's what you get. Food City, but their store brand stuff was good. They had good prices. I mean, it was a good grocery store.
I like going to Sheetz myself.
That's not a grocery store.
Yeah, I know, but they still got good food. Wawa's too.
Damn. I like Wawa, but their pizza gives me the shits. Oh, Jesus. So that's why I won't eat it.
You ever had the Subway pizza?
That sounds disgusting.
It is. It totally is. I won't even touch it.
You've had it?
Of course. No, I've
had a Krabby Patty from Wendy's.
No.
Like, I'm disappointed that Wendy's didn't go all the way and just like make a Krabby Patty out of fish.
Make a freaking crab cake burger, man.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Imitation crab meat is like super cheap, so
yeah. They could have even put like SpongeBob and Sandy Cheeks on the box.
Sandy Cheeks.
That's the squirrel.
I know who the squirrel is.
My favorite line from any SpongeBob to this date is still Patrick asking if mayonnaise was an instrument.
Mayonnaise was an instrument.
Is mayonnaise an instrument? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know you're a Duke's man, right, Dave?
Yeah.
That's the only kind of mayonnaise you can get in Greenville, right?
I was quality control manager at Dick's Mayonnaise for 7 years.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I saw Palmetto Cheese is making a whipped version of it.
Whipped?
Yeah.
They can charge you for air?
More or less.
Yeah, that's one thing you need less of in your Palmetto Cheese is air.
Yeah. It is good. I don't like if I'm gonna buy a pimento cheese, I'd rather have that palmetto.
Oh yeah, that's the best. But I mean, if you're gonna, I don't know. I'm trying to think what the use case for a whipped pimento cheese is. I guess if you want to put it on a scoop it with a chip or something, you want it a little lighter maybe. But
well, see, they got original garlic herb. And what? I think it's is it jalapeno? Yeah, jalapeno. Yeah, they got it like on their webpage. They got it like a bowl of celery and carrots sitting next to it, and crackers and a bagel.
Okay, so you dip with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you have anything like that down in Texas.
Nope. Not that I'm aware.
They just got brisket.
And barbecue.
Yeah. See, I'm jealous. Cajun. Down where Dave lives, he can get all the different varieties of palmetto cheese. Like, they got one with bacon in it.
I might would try it. I've had the jalapeno, the pepper jack, and the pepper jack's all I've ever had. And my wife got the pepper jack just because they didn't have the other.
Didn't have the regular.
I mean, and I don't try lots of stuff. I find something I like, and that's all I eat. So.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a suppository. Then you try them all. Twice.
Yeah, y'all be proud of me that somebody, there is a family I know that they run a coffee truck, right? And they also sell like Cimarrons and stuff like that, made by another friend of theirs out at their coffee truck. Well, the guy that owned the coffee truck, he tonight to church, he bought a big old box of cinnamon rolls, and man, I so wanted one, but I didn't get one. it had that cream cheese icing on it. There's nothing better than a cinnamon roll with that on it. If you're going to really fuck your diet up.
No, I'm going to disagree with you because you get the cream cheese ice cream and you get the cinnamon roll, but then to make it better, you have bacon baked into the middle of the cinnamon roll.
Okay, yeah. I could see that.
A heart attack cinnamon roll, and it is... It's a freaking juxtaposition delicious. In my mouth.
There you go. Just like that sweet meat.
Well, yeah, you get the sweet from the cinnamon roll and the cream cheese, and then you get that nice darker bit of flavor from the bacon.
And I'm going to try my test run of candied bacon that I need to make for my cheesecake that I'm making for Thanksgiving. It's going to be maple bacon cheesecake.
I think we have to still figure out what we're doing for Thanksgiving. If we're doing something at home or if we're doing something with a friend.
We're going to my sister-in-law's.
That doesn't sound fun.
She's a good cook, so it's fine. And I don't have to cook, except for the cheesecake the night before.
Calories don't count on Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's a cheat day for sure. That's one of the. If I eat anything in the morning, it might be like some toast with my coffee or something. But that's it.
I might eat like a giant salad or like right before we do the whole Thanksgiving thing. So that way I'm not, hungry and going wild on all the delectable food that's there.
Because it's like, turkey. Yes.
Turkey's going to get wrecked.
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes in my house.
I
like sweet potatoes. The problem is that one of my kids is deathly allergic to sweet potatoes. Oh.
So that's like if they have that at a fast food restaurant or something, or a restaurant, Joe gets them.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That way, like if you're out by yourself or something. Yeah.
Yeah. We even got to be careful because a lot of the sweeteners that they use in juices these days is from sweet potatoes.
I can see that.
It was an issue when she was in high school.
Now, pumpkin or pecan pie?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
You had me at pie.
Yeah. And green bean casserole, do you eat it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's good.
Depends on whether or not I need the extra room for pie.
You talking about the one with the cream of mushroom soup and the...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Apple pie.
In the bird or...
Pecan.
Or,
dressing on the... Cherry.
Stuffing in the bird or outside the bird.
Well, you got to have something stuffing the bird in order to properly distribute the heat.
That's what I say.
So, I don't cook a whole bird. I break it down before I go because everything cooks differently.
We're not big fans of like traditional stuffing, so we'll end up doing it with like green beans and carrots.
What we do is we have dressing, and I guess
it's called cornbread.
We have the giblet gravy, or the stuffing is turned, or whatever is in the bird is turned into gravy.
Right.
Put on the dressing, so.
Not a gravy fan.
I mean, I like it on dressing, but if the dressing's made right, you don't even need that.
I've tried this.
I will eat like 5 pounds of mashed potatoes, though.
Now, I've tried this, and it's amazing, but DiGiorno's Thanksgiving pizza.
Why?
Because...
It sounds like a waste of room for turkey.
I hope it was interesting. Was there cranberry sauce on it?
Yeah, there's cranberries. Not sauce. Yeah, just cranberries. Cranberries, green beans, gravy, and turkey.
There's too much of that and just cheese. Because you can mentality. There's no reason for that.
I'm telling you, you should try it. It's not bad.
No.
And it's a Detroit deep dish style.
No, because then I would have to try it on a day that wasn't Thanksgiving because I would need to save room for actual food.
Right.
And why add an extra cheat day?
Right.
I like turkey, but I just don't know about no Thanksgiving pizza.
Yeah,
exactly.
This year's is better than last year's. Last year's had sweet potatoes on it, too.
Look, I can see if you're like, you know, a middle-aged divorcee, bachelor, got all these alimony checks and you're paying for the kids still, then you go get that pizza.
It's been,
I'll
tell you this. It's better than, not that I've tried it, but the s'mores ramen.
Ugh.
Yes.
No. There's a s'mores
ramen. It's like, no.
I think
we've even
talked about the flavored beers that come out during the holidays that are supposed to be, you know.
Pumpkin spice?
Thanksgiving dinner. Thanksgiving dinner.
Wait,
flavored
wasn't
beer.
That Jones Soda?
Probably.
It's better than Lester's Fixins.
So yeah, beer that's flavored like Thanksgiving, so you can have your Thanksgiving dinner and get drunk at the exact same time.
You can still do that. It's called wine. Or beer if you're a heathen, right?
Let me see if I can find this. Thanksgiving flavored beer.
Beer. And Australians don't drink Foster's.
Why?
Because it sucks. Of course, I wouldn't know that. I haven't had a beer in over 10 years.
Have you heard of Dickens cider?
Dickens, like, what is that?
It's a cider.
It's a
company.
Cider.
Yeah. I put a link in the Mumble chat for their YouTube commercial. It's pretty funny. They don't like it.
Oh, turkey beer.
No.
It's after 10, and I think we should just mention it one more time just because it's this weekend at High Linux Fest.
That's right.
What do you think, Joel? What do you think the oldest Linux Fest is still going on today is?
Probably OLF, I would say, hazard a guess.
Best as I can tell, just from a quick Google search, is Linux Fest Northeast by 2 years, I think.
All right.
I think Scale is 1 year younger.
Self is, what? Is it getting we've had the 10-year.
Yeah, he's been around since 2009, so that's still going. But I think
20 years is soon. Oh, my God.
That's something, huh?
Yep. Oh, Joe, I tried the Cranberry Blizz Starry.
I don't know what that is.
Starry is basically what replaced Sierra Mist. And this Cranberry Blizz is basically cranberry and Starry. The weirdest thing is it is not red like any of the other cranberry ones.
My wife and kids are drinking the heck out of the Canada Dried Cherry Ginger Ale Diet.
Cranberry one?
Yeah, no, it's cherry, I think.
Oh, cherry. Okay.
I think it's called Canada Dry Cherry Fruit Splash or something, but they love it.
Okay. Oh, King of Arcades is free on YouTube now. I might have to watch that. That might give me a topic for my show. Oh, speaking of that, I'm going to get a sponsor soon for my show.
That's cool.
What sponsor?
Yeah. It is I gotta wait till I get it. I gotta do three spots. Magic Mind. It's like a
Delta 8 company.
Hold on a second. It is a mental performance shot.
Oh, cool. Good for you,
so
Joe.
I'm gonna get to try it, and I'll get a code like they give some of these people. I want to try Factor, but I don't want to pay as much as they want for fucking Factor. Have you seen Factor yet?
What is that?
It's basically like pre-made meals.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. My family gets a pre-made meal every day by me.
That's bastards. Right.
All right, we got to play this out, man. It's getting
yeah, long. We do.
Yeah, here we go. All right, thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Stay frosty.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I've never seen this King of Arcades. It looks good.
I might have to watch it.
I was thinking of King of Kong with the fistful of quarters.
Right.
That's a good one. But I've never seen this one.
I hadn't even heard of it. It's a critically acclaimed documentary follows the arcade owner and punk rock star Richie Knuckles as it creates one of the biggest arcade phenomena in the world. That's fair game. Oh, and I think all three Smoking the Bandits are on YouTube for free.
I cannot remember the guy's name. Donnie somebody. He was at Red Hat when they came out with the Redneck Edition. I think he was responsible for that. But he had a blog back in the day where he argued at length that Smokey and the Bandit was the best movie ever made.
Oh, my God.
I forget that guy's name.
It's fun, but
Donnie
ain't the
somebody,
best.
But he was a Red Hat engineer, early
see,
Red Hat
ooh,
days.
Ooh, The Lost Arcade is also on YouTube. It's Buy or Rent. Never mind. Waterboy is free now. The Secret History of Air Force One. Red Dawn is free. King of Kong is by a rent. Chasing Ghosts is by a rent. Phenomena is free. Stop the recording.
What's free?
The movie Phenomena. That's that John Travolta movie.
Joe must be adjusting his suppository as we speak.
Or going somewhere with a gun in his hand.
Yeah. Oh, is that a Robin Williams movie reference?
Yeah, exactly.
Aside from the fact that you don't like Pigeon Forge, did you have a good time with your family at least?
Oh yeah. It was only Wednesday through Sunday. And my son-in-law was in California this week for work, so he had to be back like super early. But
can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yep.
But no, the first day, me and my son-in-law and my grandson stayed at the cabin while all the women went shopping. But we only got out of shopping one day. But it was okay.
Now, if your wife goes to Pigeon Forge every year, where do you go when she's at Pigeon Forge?
I stay at home.
You stay at home?
Yeah.
What was the reason that she forced you to go this year?
Well, she didn't. It was my oldest daughter, the one that has my grandson and the one that's married to my son-in-law. She decided that she wanted to make memories for my grandson. He's 17 months old. He's not gonna remember this anyway.
She wanted a babysitter.
Yeah, well, no. She just there wanted to take her grandson to the mountains, which they had fun.
Well,
that's all that matters.
No, I didn't mean from that way. I meant why your presence had to be there.
Well, because my son-in-law was going. Yeah, he didn't want to be the only guy. So,
Dave, didn't you tell them that you are an expert user in GIMP, and you could just GIMP yourself into the pictures? You don't have to be there. They'll never know.
I fired up GIMP today. There's a reason, but it's not what you think, for the first time in years. But, yeah, I had to fire up GIMP today. I can talk about why I did that later. But,
good. I look forward to that.
Oh, it's not that neat. It's not that interesting of a story, but I can talk about it.
I guess we should get the ball rolling before CPAP Weekly starts. We want to get some stuff in before CPAP Weekly.
Oh, boy.
You know what, Dave? You should tell Joel you perfected a CPAP suppository that'll solve all his problems.
I'm not going to do it.
And it runs on a rechargeable lithium battery. And you have a solar charger for it, so he could take it hiking with him.
You hook it to a TENS machine and send a little bolts of electricity up there.
You must have one of those.
No.
For your urethra. Dude, I don't know, man. That shit scares the hell out of me. I'll tell you what. I shouldn't even have brought it up. Because I'm...
The funniest thing you just said.
I have a TENS machine.
You said it out loud. I shouldn't even have brought it up. Oh, I've borrowed one before. I had some nerve pain or something in my knee, and I thought that would help. And
oh, wait. Is that the machine? A TENS machine is the thing where you attach the electrodes on either side and you run.
Yeah, these are pads. And
One of my wife's students was dared to attach those to his on either side of his head and turn it up to the highest, and he did it.
Did he lobotomize himself?
No, but he would ask my wife if it would be okay if he pile like chairs into take all the chairs and put them into a big pile and dive into them and crazy shit like that afterwards. Like, he was just,
So he partially lobotomized himself.
Yeah, he was a piece of work. No, I was thinking of a TENS machine. I was thinking of the little urethra rod.
No. I'm sure that's a thing. If you brought it
right
up.
No, that exists, but yeah, the TENS machine, I forgot about that. That's not going anywhere near my genitals, Dave. I don't know how you operate it.
There are TikTok videos out there of young women talking their young man husband into putting a TENS machine on his lower abdomen, like right where his belt would be, to simulate labor pains, and they film it just to see how ridiculous the guy acts. And I have done that. The day I borrowed one of somebody in the house thought it'd be funny to watch the men do that, and I'm sure it doesn't simulate labor pains.
You know what? My wife had one for her muscle pain and stuff like that, and I refuse to even try it out. I don't want that voodoo on me.
It's voodoo.
I don't want that voodoo on me, killing me. No, it helps out. It does, from what she said.
My wife has a bad shoulder. And she has her right shoulder. They said it's the shoulder of an 80-year-old. And, I don't know, eight or nine years ago, she we were walking on this trail, and the next day she started complaining about her shoulder hurting. And it went downhill for the next month or two. And, I mean, to the point that she was – and she has a very high pain tolerance. She was ready to cut her arm off. I mean, she said those words. I mean, if I could amputate it, I would. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with it. They sent her to chiropractors. We had to argue with insurance about MRIs and all kind of crap. And, you know, at one point they put a TENS unit on it. But bottom line, it ended up being a strep infection in her shoulder with no known point of entry. I mean, the doctor said this is kind of medical journal kind of stuff. They don't know where it came from. But the strep bacteria ate all her cartilage. And it nearly, you know, it could have killed her. But it was bad. She was on a PICC line for a week and a half or 2 weeks. She's on a bolus IV fluids that straight into her arm.
Well, I'm glad that she came out of that. That's great.
The whole point
sucks.
Yeah, the whole point of that was is they one of the things they tried was the TENS unit because they thought she had a chronic pain syndrome at one point. Uh-huh. They didn't know what it was, but they were going to do one thing, but they did some blood work first, and that's when they saw it was an infection. And still, to this day, don't know how she got a strep infection in her shoulder.
Now, did she fully recover?
Yeah, but she doesn't have full use of her arm. Her right arm, she can't raise it over her head. She can't reach. She can't scratch her back with it. If she's sitting on the couch and she tries to hand you something, and you're beside her. She has to swivel at the elbow. She can't use her shoulder. You know, like a normal person. But if you were to watch her, you know, walk around, you know, walking, and you wouldn't think anything's wrong with her. But for her to move her arm from left to right or reach out to her side, she can't do it, or behind her back.
Did it just like erode the muscle, or was it the tendons?
It was the cartilage.
Oh, the cartilage.
Yeah.
Does it hurt her at all?
It's bone on bone. Yeah.
Oh, that stinks. So it's hurting her now.
Yeah, she needs a full shoulder replacement, but she's putting it off because she only wants to have one.
Okay.
Because shoulder replacement's only good for like 15 or 20 years. And she's hedging her bet. She's 54, and her mom's 96. If she lives to be her mom's age, she's going to have two or three of these things. So she's putting it off.
Well, Dave, you should be out there robbing graves to get her a shoulder.
She has a very high pain tolerance. So I'm sure I would have had the shoulder replaced years ago. She's living with it.
You'd have been in a wheelchair for your shoulder, wouldn't you? You'd be like, give it to me. Carry me. Carry me everywhere. It's your shoulder, Dave, not your legs. I don't care.
But they say that's one of the worst joints to replace is the shoulder, because the range of motion you have in your shoulder, that's the greatest of all your joints is your shoulder.
So if she were to get it replaced, would she get a lot of that mobility back, or would she just not have the pain?
No, she'd get the mobility back.
It would take time. She'd have to. Yeah. She's waited so long, the muscles have
kind of atrophied.
Yeah. So I mean, the muscle she would use to do that, she's not used in years.
What if they just replaced her whole arm and it was like with Arnold Schwarzenegger's arm? But, so it's also, just like this beast of an arm.
Yeah. The other good thing is she's left-handed. This is her right shoulder. So,
all right, let's start the show. What is it, Dave? 1076. You got it. Right on. Here we go.